Have you ever ignored the check engine light for a really long time?
Have you ever forgotten to change the clothes for your kids on a long car ride?
Have you ever sent your husband to the store and he panicked to come home with all the wrong stuff?
Someone ever given your twin boys one toy to share?
Have you and your husband ever assumed the other one paid that bill?
Well, we've had these things happen to us, and around here we call them PFDs, or
potential for disaster.
I'm Julie.
And I'm Heidi. And we are trying to avoid PFDs, but when we can't, we can at least laugh about them. Join us each week as we share our near misses,
total failures,
and good times.
Hi.
Hi. Episode 3.
Yes.
Now with more margarita.
Yes.
Oh, and we need the margaritas because we've had vacation this week. Well, our kids have had vacation this week, and they've been home all week.
And Monday, they'll be home.
I know. They got 15-minute early dismissal last Friday, a week off, and then Monday off, which the Monday after Easter was never a holiday.
Yeah. I never heard of Monday Easter. Easter Monday.
That's coming.
I'm going to call it Bad Monday.
Like they call Black it, Monday.
Yeah, like they call it Good Friday. Okay, yeah, it's good.
Right.
But then it's bad Monday.
Enough already, Monday. I have images, visions when a vacation comes up and, you know, the morning routine we're getting sick of. And I'm like, oh, good. It's going to be a break and we can sleep in. I have visions of us hopping in the car, going somewhere fun.
Right.
By 9 o'clock, these kids have driven me so bananas.
Wait, 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. Oh. Like, nothing happens the way I think it's going to happen. They wake up complaining. Really?
Yeah. Like crabby.
Yes. Touching each other. He's poking me, wrestling. Yes. Max now runs full speed at Jack and attacks him. And then Jack pushes Max off with the force he would use if, like, a bear was attacking him. And Max, who's, you know, 40 pounds, goes flying. Now he's screaming. But they do this 100 times a day.
Yeah.
They don't – I'm like, really? We're not learning?
And, no.
And I start out peaceful. Guys.
Yeah.
Let's have a good day. Maybe we'll do something fun.
Right. Right.
And then, you know,
by 9 o'clock,
by
you're
9
yelling.
O'clock, I am screaming, cut it out. And they're looking at me like I'm crazy. This crazy shrew is yelling at us again.
Mm-hmm.
School.
Mm-hmm.
We need school back.
Without a doubt. Well, you always know, or at least in my house, you always know when we've all been home too long together, or the kids at least have been home too long together. They fight more. And the first couple of days are great.
Right.
The kids are happy, no schedule, and then third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth day, they're fighting nonstop about everything.
Everything.
You're touching me, you're near me, you're in the same room, you're
looking at me.
Yeah.
And this particular vacation, because we had like heavy rain the first like 4 days. So at least now it's been beautiful here, I can kick them outside.
Yeah.
But those, so needless to say, we've done really not much exciting. The kids played outside a lot. We had some good times, but nothing.
I feel like the whole spring thing happened too soon. And I know the time change happened earlier this year. And I think, I don't know. I'm not ready for it to be April. I'm not ready to spring clean. I'm not ready for it to... I mean, I want it to be those things. But mentally, physically, I'm tired. And I don't like the fact that it's so beautiful out and all I want to do is lay down and go to sleep.
Yeah.
In my blankie.
In the sun on your front lawn.
Or in my bed with the shades drawn like it's winter. Like I don't know what happened.
You know, we should remember this and next spring try to plan a vacation, at least a long weekend around this time. So you get a good dose of relax before. Because me too, I've been doing spring cleaning, tearing things apart, hanging things outside. Maybe that's the other problem with the kids being home. It's like now that it's beautiful, I can open the windows.
Yes.
I want to get stuff done.
Yes, that's
and
it.
They don't want to let me get anything done.
Yeah. Well, I loved your line when we were outside today. You said, I'm going to stick to the things that I'm good at.
Stick to my strengths.
Yeah. Which is what? Cleaning, cooking, and gardening.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are my strengths. Yeah.
I can't really identify my strengths. I like to do everything. And as Keith says, I don't finish any project. But I agree with you. I think that's part of it is that this week it's been so nice. And the couple of days that I've been around, I wanted to clip the hedges. I wanted to rake the yard. I wanted to, you know, open all the windows and clean them, you know, which is rare. I vacuum. I do all these things. And then I'm like, oh, I have to feed them. Oh, they're still here.
I have the same problem. I take on way too much. And I look at, like, everything that has to be done. And mm-hmm. we have quite a big piece of property and a barn that's falling down. All these projects.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do all of them. I need to stick to my strengths. I can feed everyone. I can keep the house clean. I can garden.
That's good.
And I will help with other things, but I'm not going to initiate.
Yeah.
No initiating.
I'm not past that point.
Then once you start it, you got to finish. Or you're responsible for finishing.
No, I make Keith finish. It's not my job to finish. It's the partnership.
Damn it. Right. But even if I don't finish, mm-hmm. I still started it. So when Norman complains about the finishing part,
that's nice of you.
I feel sort of guilty.
Yeah. No. Don't. No. No, because whatever. You just don't.
Don't. I like that. I'm going to say Julie said no. I don't have to feel guilty.
No, not at all. Well, that reminds me of, so on our blog, pfdpodcast.com, we were posting pictures of things that we didn't think we'd ever share. Like, you know, in our first podcast, we talked a lot about the vacuuming and Heidi's wonderful vacuum that...
it's a steam carpet cleaner.
Yeah. So when you described what it looked like when you had a clean white sink and then the dirt water coming in and what it looked like. And thankfully she took a picture. It's up on the site and you should have discussed what happened. And I loved it. I could see the reward, the benefit from doing that. Although I had one question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like that every time?
Every time.
Okay, so then second question.
How filthy are we?
Yeah. So, like, all right, no, third question. How often do you do that?
Okay, I did that rug for when we had the big Thanksgiving at my house.
Okay.
So November.
Okay.
So what, 5 or 6 months later? And I have 2 kids and 2 dogs and a cat and my husband who wears work boots everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's
and
like that.
My kids coming into your house randomly when you're sleeping. But anyway, yeah.
It's like that every time.
Wow.
Every time.
That was fascinating.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then I disclose my disgusting shower curtain.
Yeah, that was quite a mold problem you had going on there.
Yeah. That whole bathroom is just nasty. I'm going to vomit. But the funny thing, the thing I was going to relate back to, and I completely forgot my thought.
Oh.
So let's see. We were talking about spring cleaning. It's not my fault. I knew this at a point. So if you read the post, I talk about how I buy these items that are mold resistant and whatever. Make my life easier. I'm not home. I'm busy. I'm working. We've got kids. Whatever. We're doing stuff. So these are supposed to make things easier. No.
No.
No. The fact that it's mold resistant or whatever, soap scum resistant, is great. But then you do have to wash it and take care of it. I don't like that part. It's not my fault that it looked the way it did in the picture. It's not my fault.
It's the manufacturer's fault.
It is. Don't claim to be mold resistant and then you get moldy. I am not supposed to put it in bleach and wash it.
Maybe you should just all hose off in the backyard.
Well, it's made me want, when we redo that bathroom soon, to make like one of those handicap bathrooms where you just walk right in. Well, I mean, you stroll in if you had a hand, whatever. Anyway, and just open. Yeah, almost like it's an outdoor and it's just tile, not even tile, stone.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anything. No glass. Yeah. I mean, I want to see something, but well, I don't want to see any soap scum. No glass.
Well, I have glass in my shower, and we squeegee it religiously. Really? Every time we take a shower.
Really?
I've had it for 3 years. I've never cleaned it. It stays totally clear all the time. Hmm. It's amazing.
Like a real squeegee?
Yeah. Like a little like handheld squeegee. Now, only Norman and I use
steal
that.
It from somebody in the street? No. Where do you buy squeegees?
You can buy them. You've just never looked for one.
No, like I still have to buy the wool thing that you told me. See, I don't even know what it's called. For the clean the pots.
Oh, my God. Julie. So the other night I made dinner at Julie's house. We were working on things. I was like, let me throw dinner on. I went to my house. I had pancakes that we were going to make because breakfast for dinner. Yay. Your setup for washing dishes.
What?
Like there's no sponge. That nope. I couldn't find soap. There is soap. Well, it's like Mrs. Meyer's healthy.
But it's in the handheld thing with the sponge on the end.
You can't get it out. It doesn't sud. I like organic products, but it didn't do it. Nothing got clean. I don't know how you function with the sink over here.
Dishwasher.
I can't use my dishwasher. It's always filled with beer bottles.
Oh, wait. I saw that picture you said. I thought that was fascinating. Yeah, we've graduated from baby bottles to beer bottles.
I know.
I like that. Yeah, what is it? Steel wool? Is that what it is?
Or even just a sponge, Julie.
I do have a sponge.
No.
Yes.
You
the
had
one...
like a dishcloth.
No. If you looked in the sink.
Oh, the thing that was on the handle?
Yeah, that's a sponge.
How do you need something you can hold in your hand.
No. That's too close. Germs. Bacteria. So this
killing
is the
me.
You hold on to it and you fill it up with soap and it comes out. But I thought you couldn't use soap and water on stainless steel cookware. They're always so like, don't put it in water. And...
on your pots?
Yeah. I don't know. So
maybe
bad.
No. Cast iron.
Oh.
But your stainless steel pots, yeah. Generally, they recommend washing them, Julie.
I do wash them. I do wash them with a light abrasive cloth with baking powder, soda, whatever it is. I don't know the difference between baking soda and baking powder. Not bad.
That's why I cook and I bake and you don't. Yeah.
Well, I scramble around my house like, which one do I have? And luckily, I do have both, but I wouldn't be able to tell you the difference. One is softer, finer than the other one, but not really. They look the same. Yeah. Cocaina. That's what they look like.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'm buying you a sponge for Christmas. A good one.
That's a long way away.
All right. What's
Mother's Day?
Happy Mother's Day. Here's a sponge.
I don't want a sponge. I want that steel wool thing you talked about.
So good.
Where would you even find one of those?
At this place, it's amazing. It has all this food and cleaning products. It's called a grocery store.
Never saw it.
And we have one right down the road.
Doesn't exist.
Which I don't like.
No, me either. Well, you know, I was at a store today and I was getting the shower curtain to replace in the nasty bathroom. And I bought, I don't know, I just, it's amazing to me, like the stuff they put on the outside of the aisles and things. And I bought some random stuff today. I bought this thing. So, you know, I'm sure you have this problem at home with the toothpaste. And you have to keep squeezing out and pushing it up. I don't know what kind of toothpaste you use. But for the kids, I use the Toms of Maine.
Oh, those are hard. I use that for the kids, too. Yeah. And it's like it's almost like it's metal or something.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
It
and
is hard.
It's very hard to squeeze, especially when you're getting near the end.
Yeah.
So, you know, with like a Crest tube or whatever, you could roll those up by hand. And so I was like, I can't do that with this metal tube thing, whatever that it's made out of. And so I bought this thing. I don't know what it's called, but you put it on the end of the toothpaste and you push it up. It's like a clip.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those. My dentist gives those out.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I bought that. But it was like this store has like a lot of that crap. And, you know.
I like Home Goods.
Two books. I can't speak. Yeah, Home Goods is nice.
Yeah.
I like Home Goods.
It's a fun place.
Yeah, I spent some time there. And actually, on our website, I posted some new placemats that I bought.
Nice.
from that place, but
I'm going to buy new things when I don't live with the people who make my rugs that dirty. Then I'll probably upgrade.
Yeah, that'll be a while. Yeah. You need to cut down the number of people living in your house.
College.
In general.
College. Mm-hmm. Save for it. Mm-hmm. Good time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. There was I was just looking at a couple of articles online. So part of my job is I read a lot about healthcare and all of that. And so I was fascinated by a couple of things that I saw in the news recently. One is four-day school week. So not only are they going to cut back on the number of mail deliveries that we get, which still hasn't happened, which I wouldn't oppose.
No.
Bundle it once a week is fine.
Yeah.
I don't really need to get those all those bills.
Certainly not Saturday.
Yeah. No, not at all. The 4 day work week, 4 day school week apparently was something people were doing like last year.
Issue?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it's carried over. Like they've been doing it for the last year or two when all the stuff with the economy was going really bad. But I think that what they do is they make the day a little bit longer, but it's only 4 days. So this is all this hoo-ha about what the impact on parents who work or parents who are home, whatever. And I just thought, it's not fair to change the 4 day school week if you don't change it to a 4 day work week.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do with the kids the last day?
Right.
It's enough that we have to take vacation 3 times a year for a week and more than that, actually. But So I don't know. I just thought it was fascinating, this whole concept of 4 days. And some schools start earlier in August. And I think more school is always a good thing. So I don't know. I just thought it was kind of an interesting trend, apparently, that's happening across the country.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of that one. But it would make sense, then. What would you do? And really, how does it save money for the school? I'm not really understanding, because you're paying the teachers the same, I'm assuming. They're the same number of hours.
Yeah.
I mean, the number of hours, I think, is mandatory by state.
Mm.
So the kids would have to be there a certain
number. Can that up?
Maybe.
You sound very convinced.
There is some sort of mandatory hour thing. But,
Yeah,
I don't know how it would save money.
No, me either. Whatever.
Maybe because they're not giving them filthy, dirty lunch 1 day a week.
Yeah. Oh, you... Well, we talked about this once before, about that show. I haven't seen it, the Jamie Oliver show. Yeah.
I really like it. I mean, I think it is taking the worst and making things look it's still a TV show. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how much is kind of, you know, edited to make these people look absolutely awful. Like, no kid knew what a tomato was in a class. No kid knew
really?
What a tomato was. I find that really...
Where were they?
Someplace in West Virginia, and he like pulls out, I'm forgetting now, I watched it a couple weeks ago, but he like pulls out fresh vegetables, like a potato and a tomato, and there are kids who had no idea what these things were. And they weren't like, it wasn't like preschool. It was like, I don't know, maybe third or fourth grade.
Are there urban areas in West Virginia? I mean, because you could argue maybe that's why, because they don't live, you know, near farms, or they don't live near produce stands, you know, like that's a huge issue in urban areas.
Yeah.
They say there's fast food places versus places where you can get fruits and vegetables.
Right.
So that's a possibility.
But you would think even going into a store with your mom, like what kid doesn't come grocery shopping once in a while?
Why wouldn't those kids learn that stuff in kindergarten? I mean, even from a book.
Right. Or TV show. I mean, even kids shows generally have like a healthy theme at this point. So I don't know how much is like, I don't know. But I do like the idea that people are starting to think this way. That like, it's not okay for a chicken nugget to have 70 ingredients. Like,
no.
Yeah. It just isn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of gross.
It is gross. Anyway. So. I want to take a minute out to mourn the loss of John Forsythe. He was on Dynasty, the voice of Charlie Angels. I know your eyes are glazing over because you're like, who cares?
But no, not who cares.
But I was a big fan. I love Dynasty, actually. And I love Charlie's Angels. And I promised you a story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Your Charlie's Angels story?
Yeah.
Does this have something to do with your big hair?
No, that was before the big hair. So, and she'll kill me for revealing this, my cousin. Well, actually, no, I don't think she'd kill me. She'd laugh. So I didn't have any sisters growing up, whatever. But I got along really well with one of my cousins. She's like a year younger than me. And we grew up together and stuff. And I would go to her house and play the Barbies. Like, she was the one person I could be, like, truly a girl with, because I had two brothers and – or have two brothers. And they didn't want to play Barbies.
Or they wanted to, like, run them over yeah. with their G.I. Joe trucks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or they wanted to just maul them, you know, make them look non-Barbies. Anyway, burn them, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I had a similar experience.
Yeah. So I'd go to her house and we would just, you know, it'd be like fantasy land. We'd come up with any scenarios. We'd have Barbie galore days, whatever. And at one point we got – oh, actually, two things we used to do. One was we pretended we were the Charlie's Angels. She was always – who was it? Kate Jackson's character.
Okay.
And I was always the one who has a line at Kohl's or – one of those places. Oh, Jacqueline Smith.
Yes.
So I don't know why. I was. So we used to reenact episodes of Charlie's Angels and like make pretend in her basement that we were Charlie's Angels and, you know, just act out silly. And it was mostly, I really don't remember a lot of what we did, but it was just, I just remember always that's what we would do. That would be like, oh, we're going to play Charlie's Angels. Oh, great. You know, and then sometimes the Barbies would be reenacting mm-hmm. Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And somehow the guys from Menudo would show up in our storylines, you know, because, and actually the reason I bring that up too is because of Ricky Martin's yeah, latest yeah. admission. Not that we didn't all know that.
Yeah, I feel like it was not a shock.
No, but so, you know, I'm Spanish, whatever. I liked Menudo as a kid and he was in it when I liked him.
Yeah. Yeah, and same time for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember all of that. But so they played in our storylines. But if he was gay back then, that changes things. I have to like rewrite all my childhood memories and take them out. Doesn't quite work.
I'm guessing he was gay back then.
You think? Oh, man. Because I thought they were all hunky and that wasn't possible. That wasn't a thought that I mean, again, no anything. I don't, you know, I don't care if you're gay or not, whatever. But it's just when you're a kid, you don't those things don't cross your mind. You're just like, he's cute, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I think at one point Charlie's Angels met the guys from Menudo in my, you know, fantasy land with my cousin.
that was great times. Like I remember I had a friend Kim who we would go to her house all the time because they had like a finished attic that they didn't use for anything except for Barbie. Mm. Like no one used that space. Mm. So her mom threw all the Barbie stuff up there. And it was like a magical place. I mean, we had whole scenarios, neighborhoods, yeah. and we would make furniture. There was not a face cloth in either one of our houses. So we would fold those things up. It would yeah. be like a bed or a chair yeah. or a yeah. whatever.
Yeah.
That was just great.
Barbies were great. They really were. I still have in my attic my Barbie dream house.
Can you bring it down?
Yeah.
We should take a picture, put it on the blog.
Yes. And all of my Barbies.
With us playing.
Yes. I still have all my Barbies and all their clothes
really?
And furniture. And I have the car. I used to have my cousin had the townhouse and the camper. No, wow. I think I had the camper. But I don't have that anymore. And I used to have the sports car and then the baby.
Still,
the kids.
You have some of this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Julie, bring it down. Let's play. We all boys. We're never.
Well, that's why I kept it. I was like, one day I will bequeath this to my child who will be a girl. And
no
chances of that happening.
No.
Ever.
Me either. Mm-mm.
Done.
Which is a good thing that we made that decision permanent.
Yes.
My husband went and did the snip snip because I have a good friend who is due in like 2 weeks. And we went to I went to her baby shower last weekend. And there are moments. Now, I don't want another baby. And I know that I don't. Actually, right. I would like a 9-month-old.
Right.
Like when they sit up.
Yeah.
And can eat their own Cheerios.
Yes.
But can't ask for anything yet.
Yes.
And can't really mobilize.
Right.
Cute. So cute. Yeah. Cuddly.
So cute.
But I'm done with all the other stages. Mm-hmm. Loved it when my kids were in it. I'm done. But there is something that takes over when you see, like, she's having a girl. Mm. So all the cute little clothes with the ruffles on the butt and, cute. Like...
Yeah,
it's just I could see that if the option were there,
mm-hmm.
if we hadn't made this a permanent decision,
yeah,
I could have a momentary lapse that could result.
Yes.
So it's good that this is a if anyone out there is thinking, perhaps if you are sure if you are sure that you are done with that stage, perhaps make it permanent, because you will have moments where you are fogged by baby booties that look like Mary Jane's. I know,
that's cute.
I know.
I get that pang every now and then, although actually, because we are in the same situation, there are some benefits. You know, we're no longer taking any sort of birth control, which is wonderful.
Yes.
On many levels. But Keith and I have actually talked about adopting a girl.
A girl.
At some point. Yeah. Not a baby. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. It's got to be the right age and stage kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. I think Alex and Ryan have to be older.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like in high school even, to be Frank, and I would get like a middle school age child in need, and not from Africa or Guatemala. No offense to those people who get children from there. That's wonderful. I would pick someone local.
Yeah.
Somewhere, you know, in the States.
I think that's right. I mean, they have that Wednesday's child on the, right? And
not the vision with world vision. Could adopt from afar.
But they always kind of pick these kids that really just are really trying to do everything right and just don't have all the breaks. They just don't. I think it would be incredibly rewarding to be able to offer them.
I do too.
Stability and a good environment.
And I think, you know, having two boys, so I don't want any more, but I think there's something about getting, adopting a child, especially a girl, I think at that age, where she's, you know, everything changes physically for her when she's in a preteen mode and the hormones. And without a mother, I kind of feel like I would love to play that role. Not that obviously a mother early on in any child, boy or girl, isn't make an impression. But I don't know, just the idea of taking a child who's been overlooked year after year and hasn't been adopted and, just needs a home, someone to love them. I'm like, I don't think there would be any less love for this child that I would have, you know, just because it wasn't my own or anything.
No, I think whenever you care for something, those feelings kick in, you know.
Yeah. Wow, that was serious. Okay. So I'll let you know. It'll be a couple of years. Got a lot of other things to do, like updating the bathroom first. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, priorities, priorities.
Well, I can't have a girl move into this house because the conference room would be gone, first of all. Second of all, that bathroom's too small. We can barely fit the four of us in there. So
yeah, and it is gray and pink.
Well, I don't know if you saw my post. I mentioned in my post about the bathroom, and I was like, I know I'm ignoring the elephant in the picture, which is, you know, it's a gray and pink, you know, bathtub and tile, but whatever. Just let it go.
I have a Facebook gripe.
Really?
I do. For the most part, I really like Facebook. I've gotten in touch with cousins that I would have never otherwise found. And
serves a purpose.
Totally serves a purpose. But here's where I'm running into a problem. You know the old adage, like your grandmother or someone told you, don't talk politics and religion, right? Mm-hmm. And for the most part, I mean, I enjoy a good political conversation, but I think it has to be in the right company, particularly people who are
either
like-minded or up for the debate.
Same-minded, like-minded, whatever.
Right, whatever. Or up for the debate. Mm-hmm. Like have opinions that they have something to back up with, can be different than mine. I can see where you're coming from.
Right.
And somehow face-to-face, even if you have a different perspective, a different opinion, and you're strong, you know, you can explain to me why, and I can typically at least respect your opinion being yours, right?
It, right.
There isn't like an anger thing.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook. So, you know, there's all these groups, like you can become a fan of whatever. You
become a fan of PFD podcasts. Yeah. You,
mm-hmm. Right. And leave a review for us on iTunes. But you could become a fan, you know, a fan of the president, not a fan of the president.
Right.
A fan of, you know, all these political issues you can put right out there where you stand. And I have some very strong political opinions, and people who I am close to, either because they're family or just like family friends who we're close to, but I never really have those political conversations with them.
Mm-hmm.
I now know have very different political views.
Oh.
And it's like talking politics and religion online. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's now my whole image of who they are.
Yeah.
Is changed. And this is someone who I really would only, not one person, but, you know, like, it would be like, I may only see these people at a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Or this stuff would never come up.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have a great,
right,
you know,
be ignorant to all of that. Yeah.
Now I can no longer ignore it. I'm like, really? You believe that?
Yes.
So I don't know how to, I don't know. Like, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't. There are people who I've now hidden their status so that I don't have to be.
Yeah.
I don't have to know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my issue with Facebook, is that it's made me see a side of people that I didn't necessarily know about. And they're not necessarily wrong.
Right.
I just don't know that I could talk to them over turkey anymore.
Yeah. I hear you. I think you're right. I think Facebook exposes lots of things about people that you wouldn't normally know.
Yeah.
Day to day, because to your point, these are not people that maybe live near you anymore, or their family and their whatever the case may be.
Right.
And you'll do learn a lot about people's point of view, and that's okay to a point. But you're right. This is not Facebook is not the forum to debate your political views or what Obama isn't or isn't doing or Bush isn't.
Yeah.
Isn't.
Because it's such a small snippet, like you, mm-hmm. you know, you click that you're a fan of XYZ and I'm a fan of the complete opposite of XYZ. There's no personal touch there. There's no forum for
context.
You to explain mm-hmm. why you're a fan of that. I'm mm-hmm. just pissed off that you are, because I'm not.
Yeah. And it's funny because I treat Facebook now like I treat a lot of things, and that is there's still a level of privacy, secrecy, not secrecy, but just like I don't reveal everything. I don't show. I took a lot of my pictures down just because you couldn't find them on Google if you Googled for a bit, and I didn't like that. I didn't like seeing my kid's picture pop up when I didn't. I thought we were being protected, but that's a whole other issue.
Right.
But my point is, like, I don't really use it as a forum anymore to kind of keep in touch with people is fine, but to share a lot, I don't do that anymore. Because some of the things, to your point, people that I reconnected with from high school or jobs or whatever the case may be, I'm a little surprised. Like, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that person was part of the NRA, or, and that's okay, but I don't need to see pictures of it everywhere all the time, you know, and I don't know. So it's interesting.
It is interesting. And I wonder, like, I don't know if I should, you know, should I stop joining any of these groups so that my, like, leave Facebook out of politics? And then on the other hand, I'm like, no, because I really want to show support for these things. And obviously so do the other people. So I don't think the situation is going anywhere.
Right.
But it's something I didn't think about until recently.
Yeah. I really, like, locked down my Facebook, just not interested. Same thing with my LinkedIn. And somebody was looking through my LinkedIn on my phone one day and going through all of my contacts and stuff. And I kind of got like, they were like making a comment about a Twitter I did or tweet I did. And I was like, you know, give me that. And granted, it was on my phone, so the access to the site was full. But then I was like, I'm going to go back to the LinkedIn site and like cut off everything. Like, all of a sudden, I just felt like this invasion. And I'm like, well, I guess if I'm putting myself out there, it's
I can't really complain. But I'm like, no, at the same time, I don't need everybody to know my business. If I've invited you or have accepted your invitation, then that's fine. But half the time, I don't even know who these people are.
So it's good that we've started this podcast to yep. put out to lots of strangers. Yeah. Welcome.
But that's different. It They're is not, different. I'm not, well, I am talking about my life, but they don't know me. They don't remember me from something, you know? I mean, unless our friends start listening, but whatever. It's just different. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Yeah. For me, it's really just that it's what my grandmother told me, religion and politics. Mm-hmm. I can talk dirty diapers, dirty
right.
rugs, dirty, you know, I can talk about life, but religion, I think it goes back to the old adage of don't talk religion and politics to a point.
Yeah.
Because it does bring up trouble and you may not want, there are people who you may want to have that debate with and right. people who you do not.
Well, you know, interesting you bring that up. So related, so it's Easter's around the corner and I don't know how it came up today, but I finally got my kids a haircut so you can actually see their face and body and head. I think they weigh like 10 pounds lighter. But I don't know how we got exactly on the topic. We were talking about Easter coming up, and I said, "Oh, do you guys know what Easter means?" And we started talking, and they're like, "I love my one son Alex says Easter egg hunt and Easter dinner." I was like, "Really? That's what you remember? Okay." So not surprised, but so then we started talking about God, Jesus, this and that, whatever. And they asked me a lot of really good questions, and we got into this whole discussion about evolution. And who made man? And my kids are, without really even, like, we've never had this discussion, but they were like, oh, no, we came from animals and we've, you know, evolved. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I believe that too. And then we talked about, well, like, what does God do? You know, like, what's his role in all this? And is he alive? And what does he look like? You know, so it was a fascinating conversation because I'm trying to teach them about Jesus and the whole purpose of Easter. It's not just about Easter eggs and Easter hunts and candy, but that's my, you know, that's for my mom. But it just fascinated me that, like, they got that from all the books that we read about dinosaurs and Earth. And
right.
I didn't even... And I'm not upset about it. It is what yeah. it is. You know, it is definitely a taboo topic for the, you know, general masses. But it was just fascinating. I find their minds amazing, the way they put things together and they just figured it out, whether right or wrong or whatever. But they just were like, no, this is what I believe. And I'm like, well, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. No, it is. It's good when they have that. We struggle with that. With our kids, because my husband and I are pretty non-religious. Yeah,
not me either.
Yeah, but to pass something on to your kids, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine, and you know, we were talking about our beliefs for, you know, death and what happens, and you know, I said Norman and I really just more believe in energy, and yeah, you know, we kind of have these. Right, hippie, whatever.
Yeah, spiritual, more.
Right,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I said it is hard because honestly, kids want to hear that grandpa's in heaven. That's yes. what they want to hear, and yeah. it's, you know, at least my kids. I mean, I feel
no,
like
too.
That's what they're looking for, and I.
It's comforting.
It's comforting. They're looking for that comfort factor, and I don't necessarily have that to pass on to them.
Yeah, me either. I find it fascinating. We should actually, even though it's taboo. Should have a whole podcast about that one day, just about religion in general. I know that some other podcasts recently reviewed mm-hmm. that book, The Parenting Beyond Belief.
Right.
But and I haven't read it yet, but I know you have. So
yeah, I really got a lot out of that book. Yeah. Not only for how to deal with the kids and things to tell them and things that made sense, but for myself too. Like there were mm-hmm. things that were in that book explaining it to a child that I was like, oh, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it's hard to explain to a six-year-old, you know, what does God look like or not look like, or is he a dead or alive, and what does that really mean? Like, I struggled with it too, but I just try to find the happy medium of it. But of it, I it's weird because I always wonder about how kids form. Or how we form, like how we arrive where we are today. Mm-hmm. Hopefully,
you know, I it's up to them to decide what they believe and what they don't believe. I just want to give them the tools or the guidance in some respect, but they should discover that stuff for themselves. I don't want to dictate what they should believe. But at the same time, I mean, I have certain beliefs. It's inevitable that it's going to come up. So I keep trying to look for, not look for, I keep trying to reckon, not reconcile. Wow, what am I trying to say? Trying to figure out how do I communicate to them where I've arrived at. And again, right or wrong, it's just what I believe. And it's, to me, it's a reconciliation of all of these ideas and beliefs and things that I've learned along the way that I don't think I want to see them experience per se at the same time. As much as I'm open to them figuring it out, I know how hard that is. Because yeah. I went through that for years. So having grown up very in a very religious environment. So, and my mother today still, God bless her soul. No, hopefully one day she'll hear this. Love her to death. But, you know, but point being, like, you know, there's a lot of influences and things that you can't get away from. And I feel like I maybe I can save my kids a lot of grief and a lot of self-torture over it.
But yeah, I struggle with that, too, because I also, and Norman, we both grew up in religious households, which is a whole story unto itself. But right, where I am today with religion, I'm very comfortable with.
Yeah, me too.
But I wondered, am I here? Did I arrive here? Because did it become from this religious? So now my kids are growing up being like, well, what? There's many paths, and right, all this stuff. And I'm like, where are they going to wind up? Like, maybe, like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, right. Do they? Will they do the opposite and go from this broad view to a very specific view? I fear the same things. No, I hope that, again, I hope they figure it out on their own, and they have to live with it in their own mind. I agree with you though, as the kids are very young, they want a certain level of reassurance, and just like anything else, that mommy and daddy are going to disappear, that they're safe. I think death and all of that stuff is in the same vein. I don't think they truly understand unless, you know, like, I don't know, you know, me growing up, I was almost, I hate to say it, but brainwashed, because I was, to believing certain things in a certain way. And to stray from that belief
was very wrong. I grew up the same way.
I would never want them to go through that. I mean, granted, it made me who I am today, but come on, let's skip that part. You know, that was painful. I don't want to go through that again. I don't want them to go through that. So... But I'm sure, to your point, like, I think there will be some level of them going through something like that.
There must be, because it's a learning process, or a, I don't know, but there was definitely a lot of internal dialogue that got me to where my beliefs are now that I'm comfortable. I mean, there was a lot of thinking about that. So maybe you go through that process no matter what. Maybe they will try different religions. Maybe they, who knows what they'll do.
Right.
But I like our stand better than, and no offense to my, I mean, I think my parents did the best that they could with what they had, and they meant nothing but the best for me. But I'm pretty happy that Norman and I are like, whatever, you know, whatever religion or path or whatever our kids take, we've always said we're completely supportive of that. And I would have wanted that. I think I would have been happier with that.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. And so pretty much we're doing the same thing my parents did. We're doing the best we can with what we got.
And
hopefully our kids will come to terms with what it all means and be happy with it.
Yeah. Me too. I think there's something to be said for other parents or other people, you know, who can go to church every week and participate in all church activities. And that's great. I mean, I grew up that way. I got a certain thing out of it, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel bad that they missed that a little bit, because it was more about, not about the Bible and all that other stuff, but that I was learning, but it was more about the friendships you created and the relationships. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I'll send them to camp. Same thing. You know, but not really, but you know what I mean? You know, so like some of me feel bad that they don't have those kinds of traditions that I had, again, good or bad, but those are still memories in my head. And I love the church plays, and I love singing in the church choir. And then I'm like, all right, you know what? There'll be other things that they'll do that I didn't do, and it'll be fine. But yeah.
Yeah. But I like the tradition part, though.
Yeah.
One thing in my religious upbringing, we didn't have a lot of traditions. It just wasn't a religion that really celebrated anything. So that part I really try to make for the kids. I mean, I just really...
Yeah.
I like that part. And not from a religious perspective.
No.
Just from a...
Family.
Family. Mm-hmm. And like Thanksgiving. We do Thanksgiving big every year.
I love it.
And I feel like that's going to be a really good memory for my kids.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. I think that's the stuff that makes a difference. I mean, kids looking forward to the Easter egg hunt and...
Right.
Granted, we
still have to... What time is it? About 10? Because we have, like, what, 200 eggs to... Yeah.
I'm going
to
contribute my 20 that I did the other night. Because that's really... I don't know. Maybe I'll just put them on my yard.
Yeah, there's like a couple hundred in my kitchen. So,
yeah, we'll be doing that after. You know what? We'll take a picture. And we'll put it on the site so you can see how many eggs there really were.
Uh-huh.
Quite a bit. Maybe we'll even do a contest and see if someone can guess. Not that we're going to count. Anyway, scratch that. Anyway.
So this vacation has brought up an interesting parenting issue for Norman and I. We don't see eye to eye.
Should we make a list of the things you don't see eye to eye?
Shocker. And it's sleeping late. So we have a 14-year-old now.
Mm-hmm.
14-year-olds can sleep 2-3 in the afternoon. I mean, it's unbelievable. They would sleep all day. And we see very differently than this. My view is the kid gets up for school. He never misses the bus.
Mm-hmm.
If we have somewhere to go, if someone's coming over, he gets up for that. If he's on vacation and we're not really doing anything.
Right.
I don't really care if he sleeps. If he wasn't getting up for school, if he was.
Right.
But if he stays up till 2 in the morning, honestly, I'd rather he slept till noon because he needs the sleep.
Yep.
Norman does not feel that way. Norman feels like kids should get up early every day. And that's it. He just feels like people should never sleep late. They should wake up early. He thinks if you let them sleep till noon when they're 14, they're going to be asleep until noon when they're 25.
Right.
So I pretty much just told him, well, then you get him up. I don't want to be part of it.
I agree with you.
But I just don't agree with him on this one. If he wasn't getting up when he needed to, that would be a problem.
Right.
And we could say, but he gets up when he needs to.
Yeah.
It's,
Yeah. Well, I think it's... It's like, think about it as your adult. Like, if you could, if you were tired and you could sleep, you would. Or if you were hungry, you ate. It's okay. I agree with you. It'd be different if you were saying, hey, listen, tomorrow you have to do X, Y, and Z, and he slept the whole day and never got to those chores or whatever it is.
But and granted, I usually have to yell up the stairs, like, Jack, get up.
Yeah.
But he gets up. I mean, I think...
Yeah.
I don't see it being a chronic problem in the morning. He sets his alarm clock. Sometimes I have to be like, get out of bed.
Yeah.
But he makes the bus.
Day out,
yeah. I do try. If it is a beautiful day, I mean, I try to.
Yeah.
But I don't think I don't think he should never sleep till afternoon.
No.
And my husband, it's like the old man work ethic. He just thinks that everyone should be up and doing something productive, which I understand.
Yeah.
I really do understand his point there. But on the other hand, I kind of think...
Let it be, kid. Yeah. Let him sleep.
Like, there was times I slept till noon. It didn't hurt me.
No. Not at all. Well, I equate that to the issue we have that's been a constant issue since I think the kids were born, and that is food. My husband wants to constantly restrict Alex and Ryan from eating. And I think it's just because he thinks they eat too much. And I'm like, no, they're growing. It's okay. He's like, yeah, but we just fed them and they're bored and they're eating. And I'm like, well, they clearly take after me. But I'm like, no. I'm like, I don't know. I look at the whole totality of what they're eating and I'm like, it's really not that much. I'm like, and you saw them playing out there for hours. It's not like they're not burning off that energy that food. But he has this whole issue. He's like, I just sat down. It's been 2 hours. They are hungry again. And I'm like, you were a boy. You ate a lot. You don't remember that? And so to me, it's like a similar parallel of like the whole, like, it's okay. We're not feeding our kids Twinkies every time they ask us, you know, for something to eat. I mean, they literally are like, I want an apple with peanut butter, or give me a fruit thing, or whatever.
Right, right.
It's not always, it's not junk food all the time. I mean, occasionally. But, you know, but my point, you know what I mean? So I just, a similar thing, like, let it be. It's okay. Yeah. Nothing's going to happen. We're not going to let them become, you know, 500-pound kids. Like, we'll make sure they get the exercise. That's part of parenting.
Right.
But I think he gets freaked out. It's like, they just had a bowl of cereal and they want another. And I'm like, and? I mean,
I do the same thing, but it's more just because I don't want to get up again. To
yeah,
get
me too. I mean, that's part of it for me. But the other part is like, I look at the totality. I mean, they had a good lunch today. They had grilled cheese. I think that's good. Bread and cheese.
And my son, who's the constant grub, right? We've had this conversation where I was sending him to school with lunch every day, and he would eat his lunch at snack time, which comes before lunch, and then go to the lunchroom with his cute little face and say to the lunch lady, I'm so hungry. I just wish my mother gave me lunch. And then I got a note from the teacher letting me know that children may enjoy eating in the afternoon.
You serious?
Yeah, we got a note, a very nice note.
Oh, that has to go on a website somewhere. Yeah, that's
from
hysterical.
The teacher that was like, just wanted to let you know that Max has been hungry around lunchtime and and seems to enjoy eating lunch.
Right. Novel thought.
I know, I had to call her the next day and be like, yeah, I send the boy with a big old lunch every day. And then we figured out that he was actually eating his lunch for snack and going to the lunchroom and be like, feed me.
Yeah.
So my constant grub son, after he ate a full meal here, your grilled cheese sandwich and right, mm-hmm. went to the neighbors behind us and asked for lunch too.
No.
Well, I don't think he asked. I think she offered. Okay. And he was like,
well, let me tell you what really went down.
My son initiated the grilled cheese.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Well, not the specific grilled cheese request, but I think I was coming in here to do something, and he joined me in the conference room, and he sat where you're sitting across from me, and he said, I'm hungry. Can I have some lunch? And I said, yeah, sure. It's 11. Okay. Yeah, I can make lunch soon. Can you give me like a little, like 15 minutes, and I'll make you something, and I'll make the kids something, you know, Alex Bryan something as well. He's like, okay. Happy as can be, left. I was like, damn, he just swindled me, you know?
Totally.
Very simple, but I didn't care. I mean, I was feeding my kids or whatever. It's one warmer mouth. It's not a big deal. But yeah, no, he asked. And he usually doesn't, actually. I mean, I think that's not true.
Yeah.
Right. Not for lunch, though. Usually ask for a snack.
This kid is skinny, skinny, moves all day. The kid eats like a horse and eats. He has a whole plan on how to get more.
Mm-hmm. Clearly. Well, it's the same thing with Alex comes home. Well, every couple of days or maybe every week, we get a notice from school saying we owe money for lunch.
I hate the accounting. We have to talk about that. At some point. I hate that accounting.
We should talk about it now because I don't understand it. So I filled that thing up. I allow a certain amount each week, which I think is generous. It's a couple of meals and whatever. Maybe I'm missing something, but he comes home and he says to me, but mommy, I can't, they won't let me buy snacks. And I'm like, well, you have snacks in your lunch bag. So what are you looking for? He's like, I just want chips or an apple or whatever. Okay. Why can't you get those? You have like in your, that account, there's no restrictions on which thing you can have. No, they always tell me I don't have money in my account. They don't tell me I don't even have an account. Like, he's just telling me all these things. And so I get like a weekly notice like, you owe $8. And I'm like, $8? Just like, what the hell did my kid eat? And it's just one. I'm like, what the hell did he eat? You know, I'm like, I pack that lunch every day.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I feel like I'm missing something.
I know. I felt the same way. We were doing it. I typically send my kids with lunch, but for a while they wanted, Jack never wants to buy lunch. Jack is beyond lunch food. He's like, just give me leftovers. That stuff is gross. fine with that. But Max likes the pizza. He likes to buy
the
lunch.
Chicken nuggets, whatever.
He likes that stuff. So like one or two days a week I was letting him buy. But I had the same problem. He would come home. I'd get a notice. We owe money, but I had put money in. And
I
didn't understand. And so I don't do it at all anymore. I just and if he does want to buy on occasion, I send him with actual real money in an envelope. You should see the chaos that this. I've gotten phone calls being like, did you want him to buy lunch? And I'm like, right, there's money.
Yeah.
Like $2.25. That's how much lunch cost. I put it. So now when I do it, I put it like in a sealed envelope and I write on it like, this is for lunch money for Max.
Right. Feed him, please.
Yeah, because apparently money doesn't work anymore. But
no, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the and Max was buying many snacks. Like Max literally, when I was doing it, it would be like, you know, $15 a week for like three lunches.
Right.
Like so crazy. I was like, no. You can have peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter
and jelly.
Yeah. No, I don't even talk about that. But yeah, I don't understand because I $2.25 is the lunch cost. And see, I don't know. I didn't have a lot of money growing up. So all my lunches were free growing up. We were subsidized. So I don't know what it's like. But I give him a buffer of like, you can buy technically two lunches, right? But still, I just don't get it. I think my kids feign confusion in front of the teachers and the lunch ladies and stuff. They're just like, you know.
I don't know.
But
kind of like Max with the whole reading thing.
Yeah.
If I sit here and look cute, you'll read it to me eventually.
Yeah.
Why should I learn?
Exactly. Ugh,
he did eventually learn. This week, he wrote, like he came upstairs and he had written like four sentences. Like he read Green Eggs and Ham to me. Like all of a sudden, reading has clicked. It's an incredible thing.
That's great.
I know.
Isn't that great when you see that?
Oh, so good. So good. Because we had really struggled with reading for like a year and a half. And it finally does all come together. So
yeah.
If anyone out there is struggling.
Well, that actually brings us to, we should talk about our guest coming next week.
Oh, yeah. So
next time.
Next week. Our first guest sitting on the big brown couch.
Yep.
So yeah, my friend Kelly is coming next week and she's a special ed teacher and she worked at the elementary level until having kids. And now she does, evaluations for special ed. So like if you think your kid may need services or if you're having trouble getting services that you think your kid would need, you're having conflict with the school, we're going to get the inside scoop on all of that. What we as parents should be doing, could be doing, what rights do we have, what recourse, what channels, that it needs to be a fight with the school district, but just, I know for me personally, when I go into those meetings with teachers, I feel like a kid. I don't feel empowered at all.
Mm-hmm.
So knowledge is power.
It is. No, it is. And that's a great point because to me, it feels like a business meeting. So I'm used to those kind of settings. What I get frustrated with, what I get frustrated with is not knowing all of the ins and outs of what I can ask for, what, you know, what are we eligible for? What should we be asking for? You know, because, you know, I'm going to be going through something very similar very soon. So I'm actually really interested in talking to Kelly because one of my kids has been diagnosed with ADHD. I mean, they're six, so I'm not going to debate whether or not that's true diagnosis or not. But there's clearly issues, hyperactivity and some behavioral, and even the other one too. But they're twins, so whatever. They share certain traits, but the teacher clearly has some difficulties in managing his behaviors. And clearly it's not an intellectual thing. I mean, he is very bright.
Oh my, yeah.
He reads well, writes well. I mean, totally gets it. Just can't sit still for long periods of time and probably needs some extra support and just kind of being able to follow along with rules and instructions. So I'm actually really interested in talking to Kelly because we're about to begin the process of requesting official support and services, not just a, hey, parent teacher conference, let's agree to this plan. Yeah. This is a, no, we're taking it to the next step. And I don't know if he's going to qualify or not. And that worries me a little bit because the, you know, technically you could sort of classify it as a disability. And this is what I'd love to talk to her about to some extent is, this whole is it a disability? Is it not? And then to what degree or severity is it that would really warrant support? And I don't know, you know, and then you get to a whole another road of labeling your child with something and, right. you know, lots of school districts, lots of teachers, no offense, but a lot of them want to put the kids on medication. That's not a solution in my mind. I think it's just one of the things you potentially could do. I think there are other things we have to teach children and teachers and parents about how to create the right environment for kids. But so I don't know. I'm really kind of nervous about where we're going, how we manage this. So I'm really looking forward to talking to her and getting her insights.
Yeah. So that will be next week.
Yeah. So if anybody has any questions or topics related to that they want to find out about and listen about, feel free to go to the pfdpodcast.com and post your comments and send us an email or
actually welcome some questions to ask.
Yeah. Dead air.
The dreaded dead air.
I'm just going to keep going recording. We can always cut this out. That's the beauty. We've hit the hour mark, so
we could wrap it up. Since we do have all those eggs to hide. Yeah. And then our crazy early, it has been moved back. We were originally going to do our Easter egg hunt because one of the moms has to work tomorrow and like very early. Norman's working too, so he's not going to be there. Mm. But we've pushed it back to like 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. I think 8.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like 7. Which it was originally. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Alex was walking around the house today like, oh, we have to get up early for the Easter egg hunt. I'm like, shh.
I know. Max, too, went to bed and he was like, Mom, can you wake me up really early?
It's not Christmas.
I know. And I was like, I'm probably not going to wake you up really early, buddy.
No.
So I assured him that he will be up in time for 8 o'clock. I'm sure.
I'm glad the whole there's no, you know, no Easter bunny thing, because there's only so many myths and stories and things I can keep track of what my kids know is real and isn't. If you start throwing Easter bunny in there, Santa's enough. That's it. I don't need any more.
Yeah, Max is believing the Easter bunny. I don't know. So I'm like, all righty then.
Yeah.
It worked for me because then he didn't look for candy in the house before tomorrow morning, which was good because I kind of just hid it on the kitchen counter and he never even... Didn't oblivious. Even notice.
Yeah. Yeah, like I had the pile of eggs in here and the kids were like, whatever. Whatever. Although grandma sends them stuff, so that tips them off. Candy's around the corner. Anyway. Let's wrap it up and we'll be back next week with our guest. And check us out on iTunes, PFD Podcast. .com is the website. We'd love to hear your comments and check us out again next week.
All right. See you later.